Amen. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate that. Let's take the Word of God tonight, and we will go to Mark chapter number 6. Mark chapter 6, in just a moment, we will begin in verse number 45, and I want to read from verse 45 all the way down to verse number 52. And I pray that God will use this message this evening, and I want to thank you once again. I know I spoke a lot this morning, but thank you all for the kind cards and just the greeting, all of that. It was such a blessing and encouragement to me and my family, and I am trying to heal day by day, and Lord willing, I'll get there, and I'm praying that God will give me healing, complete healing and all that, and I know that the Lord makes no mistakes. And tonight, I want to speak to you on this subject, when Jesus is near. When Jesus is near. Now, we come to Mark chapter number 6, the same account or the same story is found in Matthew chapter 14 and John chapter 6. And by the way, for time's sake tonight, we will not look at every passage in the Gospels where we find this story, but as you're studying through God's Word, as you're looking at the great stories of the Bible, it's almost like the Gospels is like a cube, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And as you turn the cube and read the different stories, you find a little more detail about the story. But tonight, let's take Mark chapter 6, and we will begin in verse number 45. The Bible tells us this, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethesda, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land." Now, we believe that to be about 11 o'clock at night. Verse 48, "And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." Now, in this story that we find tonight, it is a very familiar story. We know of the Lord Jesus walking upon the water, coming to the disciples in the midst of a storm. And may I say to you that there is nothing more special than the nearness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know this, there have been times in all of our lives when it seems that the Lord is very distant from us. Can I ask you tonight, just to be a little honest with me, but how many would say, Pastor, there's been times in my life when I thought God was very far away. Would you raise your hand and hold it up high? Well, that's very true for all of us. There's times when we think that the Lord, where is he? Is God listening? Is God hearing? Is God seeing? Is God observing? As the song goes, does Jesus care? We think that sometimes. And by the way, the devil is so very quick. You know, if you have questions, the devil is quick to give you an answer. He is good about answering our questions. And by the way, we all have things in our life tonight that we have unsolved mysteries about. All of us go through storms. All of us go through trials. All of us go through testings and what the Bible calls temptations. And we must be careful. Sometimes we can take a Bible word and try to describe it with an English word that we are accustomed to, and it does not mean the same thing. For instance, when we think of the word test, I think of being in school, taking a test, you know? I think of some kind of test, and basically the teacher always told me that we're giving you a test to see what you know. And for me, it was what I did not know, all right, most of the time. And sometimes we think that God sends trials our way or tests our way to see what we would do. Brethren, God is God. He knows what we will do. A trial is not to find out what we are or what we will do, but a trial is for the single purpose of bringing us close to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to see this story tonight, that these disciples entered into this storm. Why did the Lord allow them to go through the storm? I believe because he wanted to reveal something about himself to these disciples. You know, all of you here, we could bring you up one by one, and we could line you up here, and we could say, in just a few moments, tell us about a trial that you have been through. And every one of us here tonight can talk about trials in our life. We can talk about disappointments. It might be disappointments with dreams that we had. It might be disappointments with people. It might be a trial of a physical sort, maybe a disease, maybe cancer, maybe the loss of a loved one, maybe some terrible tragedy that we might call tragedy. But brethren, may I tell you tonight that every one of us, we have trials, we have testings in our life, and I want you to understand this. In many cases, we do not know why the trial came. Take your Bibles and let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, because I want to show you something here tonight. Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon, and Solomon was talking about life. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, he is talking about a time for everything. Now, I'll be honest with you. I would like to find a life without any storms or trials whatsoever. And I know what you think, and it's the same thing that I think. We have this thought in our mind that maybe one day we will get to the time in life where everything will be easy, everything will be comfortable, everything will be exactly the way we have determined it to be, and what we have in our mind that we have determined would be the kind of life that we want, and there we would have life without trials, without testings. But may I remind you tonight that a life without trials, a life without testings, is a life that is lived in independence of God. You see, why does God bring trials? Why does God bring testings to our life? Why does he do it? Well, God allows things. And by the way, if we believe that there is a sovereign God, and we do believe that God is sovereign, then there is no accident for the child of God. That means that God allows everything into our life. He allows the heartache. He allows the sorrow. He allows it. Now, God is never the author of evil. God never approves of evil. He never approves of what some person has done to us or said to us. God never approves that. But God is so wonderful and mighty and powerful that he is able to take what everything is done to us. He allows it to come to us for our good and his glory. He's able to work it together for our good. Do you know how proud we would be tonight without trials in our life? Do you know how arrogant we would be unless we had pain and sorrow and suffering? Because I'm going to tell you what trials do. They draw us to the Lord, to where we have to depend upon God. Do you know that there is something within every heart here that we really resist God leading and directing our lives? And we resist turning to the Lord and acknowledging the Lord and living a life of dependence upon the Lord. And really, brethren, that is the Christian life. It is a life of dependence on God and him enabling us to live the life that we cannot live in our own strength. That's really the life of the Christian. The spiritual life is summed up. It is not 50-50. You know, I've talked to a lot of people, and some people think, well, you know, there's things you got to do and things that God does. Look, the Christian life is 100% God. It is God working in you. It is Christ in you. And as we yield to him and surrender to him, he enables us to live the life that God wants us to live. When Jesus is near, everything changes. Now look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Let's begin in verse 1. The Bible says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. And look in verse 11. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Now, what is Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and especially those first 10 verses talking about? It is talking about life. And I'm going to tell you something. I would like to take out the bad part of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And you would too. I don't want war. I don't want hate. I don't want death. I don't want tears. I don't want sorrow. We don't want those things. We sometimes think that because we are God's children, that God will shield us from the difficult things in life. Can I tell you something? God allows us to go through trials. He allows storms in our life to draw us near to Him. And when we seek His presence and we know and recognize who our God is and what He and only He can do in our life, that is the purpose of these trials, is to make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know, my wife and I were speaking about this recently, and sometimes we think that God is, His purpose in our life is just to make us happy. And I'll be honest with you, there is great joy in serving the Lord, and God is good to every one of us here tonight. But brethren, God's goal in your life is not to make you happy. God's goal in your life is to make you holy and more like Him. Because when we are like the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be happy about our life. Listen, there is no joy outside of knowing Him and walking with Him. And may I say to you, the happiest times of my life, the most joy-filled times of my life, is when I'm in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I'm near Him, when I'm walking with Him, and He is, as the song goes, I am talking to Him and He is talking to me. I know that I'm right with Him and we are having sweet fellowship together. Well, let's get back to these disciples. Here they are. They are on the ship. And by the way, these men were trained sailors. They knew what they were doing. And by the way, storms would come so quickly and so furiously without notice on these nearby mountains upon the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee was about 15 miles long and 8 miles wide. It was not a very big sea. But there on this sea, that storm would come so quickly upon them, and it would come off of the mountains, and in a moment, they would be in deep trouble. And this is what has happened on this day. And by the way, we know that the Lord Jesus came to them, if you read another passage of this, in the fourth watch of the night. You know, the fourth watch of the night to the Jew was the hours between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. And can you imagine the time that these sailors, these men of God, were struggling? They knew about storms. They knew about ships. But they got to the place to where they were out of control. Number one, I want you to notice that the storm came. There is no way to escape the storms of life. And may I say to you, God in His love gives us storms. It makes us what God wants us to be. It molds us into what God desires us to be. It draws us near to His presence. And brethren, that is when and where we truly grow in our Christian life. You know what we want? We want a life without storms and trials. But can I tell you something? We would never grow in our Christian life. We would never accomplish what God wants us to accomplish without the storms. The storm came to these disciples. And you know what? We could ask, Lord, why'd you do that to the sailors? Lord, you left them. No, he was there. He was watching them the whole time. In fact, the Bible says he was in the mountaintop and his eyes were on them the whole time they were in the storm. Jesus was seeing them at every moment. But we might say, Lord, why did you allow them to go through the storm? Lord, why were you not there on the boat when the storm was taking place? But the storm came to the disciples, and there is no way for you and I to miss or to avoid the storms of life. And by the way, A.W. Tozer said this. He said that behind every disappointment in life is an appointment that God has made with us to teach us something about Himself and to draw us close to Him. You know, I can look back upon disappointments in my life, and I can look back upon them after years gone by and say those were some of the greatest times in my life, because it was through that disappointment that God met with me, God dealt with me, He spoke to me like never before, and He changed my life because it was an appointment that God had made. I remember going through college, and I was in my sophomore year, and I went through a disappointment, and I mean it broke my heart. It dealt with me in a big way, and I can still remember every day I had an open hour, and I had a room in that college, a place where I knew that nobody would find me there, and I would bury my head, and I would get on my knees before God, and I would pray, and I would cry out to the Lord and seek His face. Can I tell you something? That was one of the greatest things that ever happened to me. You know why? Because God had an appointment with me. God used that to speak to me and to draw me close to His presence. You see, the storms come in our life, but they come for a purpose. Take your Bibles and go to 1 Peter chapter number 1. And I want you to notice verse number 6. 1 Peter chapter number 1. And by the way, can I tell you the most important thing about a storm is to wait. I don't know that there's something more difficult. It's to wait. You know, I look out here and I see all of you, and I can see every one of you, and I can think about trials that you have gone through at least since I've been here as your pastor. I can think about things that you've gone through. It may be the death of your husband or your wife, or the death of a child or a grandchild or a grandparent. Or maybe the loss of a job, or maybe some conflict, some contention, whatever it may be. But those are trials that God brings into our life. And let me tell you this, we want to be shielded from every one of those. But if we do, we'll never become the Christian that God has saved us to be. And parents, can I tell you this? You and I are the same. We want to shield our children from every struggle that they could ever have in their life. We want to rid them of every conflict. We want to rid them of every trial. But if we do, if we go to bat for our children in the sense that we shield them from all of that, we are teaching them that they don't have to trust God in their life. I thank God for my mom and dad. They were not perfect parents, but they were godly parents. But my mom and dad allowed me to go through things in life. And instead of them going to bat for me, instead of them straightening out people that had maybe hurt me or offended me or what it may be, my mom and dad let me deal with that. And now I had to trust God to deal with it. You know, the truth is, they were teaching me to depend upon God for my own life, because they knew that God would use that in my life to make me what God has called me to be. You see, brethren, tonight the storms will come, but there's a purpose. Can I show you this? Behind every trial, behind every disappointment, is the loving hand of an almighty God saying, I'm giving you something that's going to hurt. I'm giving you something that's going to cause you to weep. I'm giving you something that's going to trouble you. But in the midst of that, I'm there. And I will draw near to you, and I will teach you about myself, and I will draw close to you. Let's think just for a moment. What about Moses and the children of Israel? Could not God have delivered them in one day? Absolutely. Could not God have sent the death angel immediately and rid them out of the hand of Pharaoh? Absolutely. Then why all the plagues? Why all of that going through? Because it was teaching them about Himself. They learned that God was the true and living God. He was Jehovah. He was almighty. He was powerful. They could trust Him. They could be safe in Him. And brethren, why doesn't God just rid us of our trial immediately? I know how it is. We'd like to pray, God, deliver me from this immediately. But God has a time period. And by the way, so often, your time and God's time are not the same. I have found this to be true in life. God is rarely early, but He is always on time. He is never late. Now, you know what we think? Lord, you're late. Lord, you haven't answered this prayer, but God has a purpose. 1 Peter, the Bible tells us in chapter number 1, notice this. 1 Peter chapter 1, and let's look in verse number 6. The Bible says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. Would you underline that little phrase, if need be? Ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. The word temptations there means many trials. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And I don't want you to miss this. Do you know what the trials are? It's the trial of your faith and my faith. Do you understand that when we go through trials, it is trying our faith in God? Do you know what happens when you and I get upset for the storm? We are mad at God for the storm. Lord, this is not what I need at this time. God, this is not what I hoped for. Lord, this is not the way. You know what we're saying? That God has made a mistake. It's the trial of our faith. Faith is saying that God is good, God is just, and God does everything well. He makes no mistakes. And Peter is saying the trial of your faith. Oh, listen. God is using the trial to draw us close to Him, but the devil uses the trial to draw us away from God. There are people tonight that are so angry at God for the things that God allowed into their life when God was going to use that trial to make them more of what He wanted them to be. I mean, you think about parents that have lost children. You think about people that have lost their spouse and people that have had heartbreaking things to go in life. What about Fanny Crosby, who was, when she was just a baby, the doctor put the wrong solution in her eyes and she was blind. She could have been bitter the rest of her life. But you know what? Instead, God allowed that. We don't understand it. We don't understand and comprehend that. But you know what Fanny Crosby said, who wrote thousands of hymns and songs like Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. You know what Fanny Crosby said? God allowed the doctor to put that solution in her eye because the very first person that she would ever see with her eyes would be the face of Jesus Christ. You know something? God used that in her life. What about a missionary couple that goes to the field? And what about that within a year or two, the child dies or maybe the missionary dies? And we think, what a waste. And nothing was ever accomplished through that. But it was a trial. And God has a purpose for all of our trials. Oh, yes, sometimes there are unsolved mysteries. But faith says, God, I don't understand it. I don't see any good coming out of this, but I believe by faith that, Lord, You're going to work this together for my good. The storm came. Number two, the Savior came. Now, I want you to go back to Mark chapter number 6 because I want to show you this tonight. In the midst of this storm, even though the disciples could not see the Lord Jesus, Jesus never took His eyes off of them. And I know what you think. Where is the Lord? Does He not see? Does He not care? Does He not know? And may I remind you, as I said before, the devil is so quick to make us think something is wrong with God. Boy, the devil makes us think that God is some person with a baseball bat ready to knock us down, you know? And God takes pleasure in hurting His children. That's God. No, that's not our God. But that's what the devil would like to make you think. The devil wants you to think that God has not been as good to you as He has been to someone else. I'll tell you what the devil will do during trials. You'll start thinking about other people that maybe are not as good as Christian as you, and they don't go through trials like you're going through. The devil will make you think about things that all the things you've tried to do for the Lord and to serve God, and yet this has happened in your life. You see, the devil is quick. He is quick. And he sends those fiery darts into our minds, and those fiery darts burn. And we get a thought in our heart and mind that should never be there. Brethren, in the midst of the storm came, but the Savior came. And Jesus is there with you and me. He bears our burden. As I talked about this morning, He has mercy upon us. He gets under the load with us and bears our burden. He knows the pain. He knows the sorrow. And brethren, sometimes God allows us to go through things that we may be able to help others one day. In fact, the Bible tells us that. As God helps us and as we depend upon the Lord and God enables us, one day we can help someone else to say, look, I've been through that. And God helped me, and I can promise you that God is going to help you. You know what we're doing? We're strengthening someone else's faith. Be very careful. Very careful. I've heard people use words before that are very careless words. People go through trials, and they might say to them, oh, I've been through that. You'll be fine. You know something? There's no faith in that whatsoever. You know? That says, oh, you'll get through it. Just kind of suck it up a little bit. You'll be just fine. No. We won't be fine without God. We won't be fine without the Lord. And God uses the trials to help us to see that we need the Lord every hour. As the song goes, I need thee every hour. Oh, listen, brethren. You know what trials do? Trials can break us, but it's good to be broken. Trials humble us. And by the way, trials purify us. Trials reveal things in our life. Do you know so often, let's take a storm that takes place and then we see a tree that's fallen over. You know what often it reveals that inside the tree, we couldn't see it, but there was rotting and deterioration going on in the tree. Listen, the tree didn't fall over because of just the storm. It fell over because of what was going in it. And may I say to you, so often God uses trials to reveal to us our lack of faith, to reveal to us our lack of dependence upon God. The Savior comes, and He comes to help us in the midst of our trial. We come back to Mark chapter number 6, and I want you to look in verse number 48. Notice this. Oh, listen. By the way, we are far safer in the middle of a storm with God than anywhere else than you and I could ever be. And even though you're in the midst of the storm, Jesus is with you. He is there. Jesus came to them in the midst of the storm. And brethren, may I tell you that God never deserts His children. He never does. Mark 6:48, the Bible says this. Notice, the Bible says, and He saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, He cometh unto them. Now look. It took hours before Jesus came. It was hours. He allowed them to toil. He allowed them to suffer. He allowed them to bear the pain and the heartache of that time. Lord, why didn't you come in not the fourth watch, but the third watch of the night? Because the Lord Jesus allows the trials. And by the way, sometimes God allows the burden to get greater and greater until finally we are ready to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you how you give your burdens to the Lord. God will make them so great that finally in desperation you'll fall on your knees and say, God, I need your help. Lord, would you help me? Would you change me? Would you help me with my family? Sometimes God allows family trials to become greater and greater until we look to the Lord. And in the Lord we find wisdom. And in the Lord we find direction. You see, God, life is about us and God and us responding to God and us allowing God to do His work in each of our lives. The Savior came. And brethren, I don't know how it all works, but there is one thing that thrills my soul tonight, and that is this, that even though in the most difficult trial in life, there is a God in heaven who sees us, who watches us. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know that He's watching me. And brethren, He's watching you tonight. You may feel all alone. You may feel like no one understands. And by the way, there are times in life when no one does understand except Jesus. He does understand. He knows what we are dealing with. And He bears our burden. Take your Bibles, go to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter 8 tonight, and look in verse number 35. Brethren, in the midst of the storm and the trial, will we never doubt that there is a God in heaven who loves us and cares for us? Never doubt that. I think of people in our church, even through just even this year. I know the Siemens are here tonight, and boy, they went through a great trial this year with that terrible car accident. And you know something, in the midst of that, I believe God worked in their lives in a very special way. And God uses trials for many different purposes in our lives. Sometimes we don't know what the purpose is at the moment. You know, just last week I had this accident and had a broken nose and all of that. And boy, as I was on my way to the hospital to get this all checked out and all that, I prayed. I said, God, I know that You're in control of all things, but I don't know the purpose behind this. And I said, Lord, help me to trust You through this. And help me to not to understand what is going on, but Lord, to understand You, to know Your love, to know Your care through all of this. And brother, may I say to you, all of us tonight, we might have things that we look back upon and say, Pastor, I don't know why that happened. I have things like that. I have things that to this day I can personally see in my own, through eyes, my own sight. I see no good that really came from that. But brethren, there's a God in heaven who sees our past, present, and future. And you know what? There's a God who looks upon all of our life, and He sees all of that, and He is working it together for our good. In fact, the Bible says that all things are for Your purpose. You know what? We think, well, maybe someone else's thing, but not this thing that's going on. This can't be for my purpose. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Romans 8, verse number 35. I want you to notice what the Bible says here. Romans 8, and let us begin, if you would please, in Romans 8. Let's start, I believe, in verse number 35. The Bible says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? Can I stop and say, have you been through tribulation? Times of great, testing in your life. Distress, have you been there? Persecution, have you been there? Famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Now, why does God put that there? Because so often we seem defeated in the midst of our storm. And why are we defeated? Because we think that God has failed us in some way. We think that God is not aware, that God has made a mistake somewhere. No, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can I tell you, when the storm came, the Savior came as well. And Jesus was there. Jesus saw them a long time before they could see Him. And by the way, before you will ever see the Lord's work, oftentimes we don't recognize the hand of God, but He's there. And He's watching us. And He is observing us. And it's not eyes of thinking, well, I wonder what they're going to do. It's eyes of love. It's eyes of compassion. It's eyes that, I know it's difficult, but child, trust me. Look to me. I know it hurts, but child, trust me. Let me meet your every need. Let me draw myself to you. Because, brethren, when we get near to the Lord, that's when we find strength. That's when we find purpose. That's when we find joy in life, in His presence. The Savior came. Number three, the last thing, the stillness came. Now, I'll tell you this. I just want the stillness. We all just want the stillness. But the stillness comes. And when the Lord arrives, He takes care of everything. Go back to Mark chapter 6. And I want to show you this in closing. Mark chapter 6. And I want you to look in verse number 51. Notice what the Bible says here. By the way, there is nothing in your life or in my life too great or too difficult for God to conquer. 1 John 4:4, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is He. Mark 6, verse number 51. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, and He went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Now notice this. Brethren, do you know that the Lord gave the stillness to them? Now I want to say this to you tonight, and I don't want you to miss this. It is a great day in the life of a Christian when a Christian comes to God empty, seeking God and only God. You see, so often we just want the Lord to deliver us. We just want God to take us away from the heartache. Lord, take this from me. Lord, deal with this person that is hurting me. Deal with this situation. God, just give me the finances so I don't have this to bear. But God does not do that. Do you know that I read something in this passage that so often we pass over? I want you to see something. Mark chapter 6, and I want you to go back just a few verses, and I want you to notice in verse number 48. Let's start there. The Bible says, and He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, He cometh unto them. Now we know that's between 3 and 6 a.m., walking upon the sea, and don't miss this, and would have passed by them. Now, here it is. Here are the disciples, and they are rowing, and they are working, and they are trying to get this ship to land. They're going to die. And the Bible says they look up, and they see Jesus walking, and He would have passed them by. You know what this means? Jesus was walking, but they had to cry out to Him. They had to seek Him. Now, brethren, I'm going to say this to you. Sometimes in trials, the Lord comes to us, but we keep on rowing. We keep on toiling, and we try to fix it ourselves. We try to come up with an answer ourselves. We row and toil, and Jesus is there, but He just walks on by. Now, that doesn't mean that God forsakes us, but it means that, brethren, we must look to the Lord. I'm reminded of so often, remember the blind man in God's Word, as Jesus was walking by, he cried out to the Lord. And he kept crying out to the Lord. And they told him, hey, quit being so loud. But guess what? He became desperate for God. And when he became desperate, the Lord met his need. Brethren, I'm going to tell you, sometimes in the midst of trials, I am not desperate for the Lord, and I try to handle it on my own, and I live in self-pity or self-sorry for myself, that I do not seek the face of God, and He passes us by and does not do what He desires to do in the midst of the trial. You say, Pastor, how do you know this to be true? Because I know people tonight that in the midst of the trial, they got bitter and they got out of church and they got out of far away from God and they're not doing what God wants them to do today. What happened? Jesus passed by them. He came to help them and He was there and He was a breath away. But instead of turning to the Lord, they turned away from Him. Brethren, tonight, Storms will come. You cannot stop them. You know what? We have storms in Ohio. We might have storms in January, February, March, April, May. I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, we'll have storms. We might have snow in June. You know, you never know. But storms are going to come. If I told you tonight, look, we're not going to have any storms next year, you'd say, Pastor, that's ridiculous. Storms will come. Well, guess what? The trials of life come to us. They're coming. But I've got news for you. As sure as I'm standing here tonight, there is a Savior in heaven who will come to your aid. And He will give stillness, and He will teach us, and He will draw us near. But brethren, instead of getting bitter, instead of getting mad and angry at God, instead of running to everyone else to tell them our troubles so that they feel sorry for us and have misery upon us, and we want their compassion, and there's nothing wrong with asking people to pray for us and asking others to encourage us in the Lord. But brethren, we must turn to the Lord. In fact, David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Brethren, God gives us storms and trials in life, and He is there. But that phrase, I can't get that out of my mind. He would have passed by them. Do you know, I believe if they had not called out to the Lord, Jesus would have kept on walking. Well, brethren, the Lord is walking tonight. And He is walking near you. But we must run to Him. We must seek His face. Because when we do, we find Him available. And we find that He is working everything in our life. Brethren, all down through the ages, God has brought men to this attitude of seeking Him and knowing Him. He has done it through storms in our life. You know something? It is one thing to desire what Christ can do for you, but it is another thing totally different to desire Jesus and Jesus alone. Do you see tonight? May we come to the Lord and say, God, I've got a trial, but Lord, I want to know You like I've never known You before. Lord, I want to love You like I've never loved You before. Lord, I want to be as close to You as humanly possible this side of heaven. God, will You use this trial to make me more like Thee? When Jesus is near, that's what we want tonight, is the nearness of our Savior. Let's bow our heads in prayer.